Welcome to the May 26th service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service today is led by our settled minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and Worship Associate Victoria Taylor. There is no sermon per se, but the theme of the service is connecting with curiosity. On the past sermons page is a link to Rev. Pam's speech after the service at the dedication of the Otakaraka water feature.
Today we're changing a little bit of the order of service, so do pay attention to following along. We're going to start with a reading, which is actually a responsive reading. It's found in the insert. It is called We Speak the Language of Love by Erica A. Hewitt. I will read the regular print, and you will read the italicized. We arrive from many different experiences and backgrounds. Some of us have trouble speaking. Others are so young that they're still learning to talk. Some of us speak English as a second language, and others of us can speak several foreign languages. All of us share this in common.
We speak the language of love.
In the moments before worship begins, and again when we return to the service of life, we greet one another with kind words. We chat about the days behind us and the days to come. And
we speak the language of love.
We lift our voice in song, not to sing perfectly or in tune, but to hear and feel our voices form a life-giving sound. And
we speak the language of love.
We form a web of compassionate listening when individuals among us, embodying vulnerability, name the fears that grip their hearts and the joys that buoy their spirits.
We speak the language of love.
At times, our voices clash. We disagree. Tension enters our voices as we make room for new, different beliefs, different opinions, different perspectives. Through it all, it is our attention that we
speak the language of love.
In this congregation, we welcome a multiplicity of truths and invite them to be named out loud. We prophesy, summoning the age when justice and peace will be evident all around us. And
we speak the language of love.
Let us worship together, making room for one another as whole beings, tender hearts, hungry spirits, and curious minds. With our actions and our words, let us
speak the language of love.
We both loved this reading, and we were curious what would happen if we would let the words in the reading act as a kind of frame for our explorations about how curiosity helps us to create and maintain connections. So we will be rereading the opening words to introduce the different parts of the service today. It begins,
we arrive from many different experiences and backgrounds. Some of us have trouble speaking. Others are so young that they are still learning to talk. Some of us speak English as a second language, and others of us can speak several foreign languages.
Today we'll explore speaking the language of love, but we also recognize that there are more ways to communicate than with words. One way we want to explore is through symbols and images. Each of you should have received a pipe cleaner as you came into the service. If you didn't get a pipe cleaner, raise your hand and we'll see if we can get you some. So, has anyone ever used one of these to actually clean a pipe? Yes? I obviously don't. Go ahead and raise your hand if you need one. And if you want more than one, we have enough. So hold it in your hands. Feel it. Its flexibility, its softness. I've loved holding pipe cleaners, twisting and bending it into all kinds of different shapes. In one of my seminary classes, actually I think in more than one of my seminary classes, they invited us to take a pipe cleaner or more than one and fashion it into a symbol or a shape. that represented our conception of the holy or the sacred. That's what you do in seminary. So, today we invite you to bend and shape your pipe cleaner into a symbol or an image that resonates with you. It may change shapes more than a couple times throughout the service. That's okay. When it comes time for the offering, actually, I think a little bit earlier, a little later in the service, we'll ask you to hold it up so that people can see what it looks like, so we can see the multiplicity of truths, of conceptions of a holy in the room. So, start twisting and bending and folding. This will be one way that we all together speak the language of love.
In the moments before worship begins, and again when we return to the service of life, we greet one another with kind words. We chat about the days behind and the days to come.
So each week we include in our time together a time for greeting our neighbors. This may seem to be a small act, but it is part of how we create compassionate community. One voice, one smile, one hug at a time. So as we begin worship, let us take a few moments to turn and greet our neighbors with a kind word. Think about one thing that happened in the past week that you'd like to share with someone, and think about one thing in the week to come that you anticipate. Share these with someone near you. We'll ring the bell when we're ready to move on.
What a wonderful community. We will now settle more deeply into worshipful space by lighting our flame, our chalice. I invite Genevieve up to help us. As she and Rev Pam light the candle, please join me in reading the words in your order of service. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
The reading continues.
We form a web of compassionate listening when individuals among us, embodying vulnerability, name the fears that grip their hearts and the joys that buoy their spirit.
Here in this community, we practice compassionate listening. The Buddhist monk and teacher Thich Nhat Hanh says, "Do your best to practice compassionate listening. Do not listen for the sole purpose of judging, criticizing, or analyzing. Listen only to help the other person express himself and find some relief from suffering." When we listen with compassion, we listen openly, with curiosity, to hear the other person without thinking about what they might mean, what we think of it, or how we might do things differently. We listen with a loving mind. Today, we want to practice compassionate listening to continue weaving the web that creates compassionate community. We invite you to find a partner or two. Perhaps it was someone you've already spoken to, or maybe someone new that you didn't speak to during the time for greeting. We'll take a few moments to share a joy or a fear, knowing that it will be heard without judgment, criticism, or analysis. This is an invitation, not an expectation. So you choose to share what feels right for you. So think for a moment. What is a joy that you'd like to share, or perhaps a fear. Now look around at the people near you and see if you can find one or two people, and let's practice listening compassionately. We'll ring the bell to call you back. How'd that feel? Did it feel like extended greeting time? No? Do we? Better? One of the things that we do as we train for the ministry is do a unit of clinical pastoral education, which means chaplaincy training in a hospital. And I will never forget the conversation we had with my supervisor one of my colleagues said, "Well, I feel so superfluous. I'm not a nurse, I'm not a doctor. I can't make these people well. All I do is listen." And our supervisor got a little stern and said, "Where in your life do you really feel listened to?" So, when you listen, you are speaking the language of love. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day set aside for us to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for their country, who died in war. We remember not only those who died, but also those who were touched by their lives and by their deaths. Those who have lost children, siblings, parents, grandparents, uncles and aunts, and friends. We are mindful that even if we have not been personally touched by war, those who fight do so in our names. And we lift up all the sacrifices that have been made. Sometimes we speak not with words, but with ritual. And so we will light candles of remembrance and hope today, honoring and remembering those who have died, but also hoping that at some point there will be no more war. We have two tables of candles today. And as you make your way to light a candle, we'll sing for peace with hymn number 388. It's in the gray hymnal. It's Dona Nobis Pacem, which means grant us peace. So what I'd like us to do is sing the verse through one time. And then we'll continue singing as people make their way to that table or to this table to light a candle. We'll sing it through around maybe three times, and then if you'd like to keep humming along, you can, but Jared will continue to play. And then after we're done lighting candles and we're all seated again, then we'll sing one final verse. So, Jane? When we remember with the ritual of lighting candles, we speak the language of love. The reading continues.
At times, our voices clash. We disagree. Tension enters our voices as we make room for different beliefs, different opinions, different perspectives.
We know that sometimes we do not make beautiful music together. Sometimes we make noise. Let's get Jared to help us hear what that might sound like and how it might make us feel. How did it feel to listen to that music?
Stressful.
Stressful? Exciting?
He must have had a fight with his wife that morning.
He must have had a fight with his wife that morning. So it didn't make you feel peaceful and calm, did it? No, probably more tense, maybe even a little anxious. When we feel that kind of tension, what can we do to feel better? Meditation and just plain breathing. So let's do that for a few minutes. Let's just breathe. Some of you are closing your eyes, maybe going to that happy place. Being in community together does not mean that we will always agree. As we pursue our individual searches for truth and meaning, we are bound to find different answers. We may even have different questions because we look at life through different perspectives. And part of relying on the democratic process means that we must be willing to hear the voices of those with whom we disagree. And that is not easy. But we covenant with one another to do our best to make room for different beliefs, different opinions, and different perspectives, acknowledging that we will fall short at times, but knowing that we can call each other back into covenant. We can hold each other accountable, and we can accept apologies and forgive. That's why we have a covenant. Let's read our covenant together. You'll find it in the order of service. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. When we live into our covenant, we speak the language of love. And the reading continues.
In this congregation, we welcome a multiplicity of truths and invite them to be named out loud.
Let us consider our multiplicity of truths as we settle into a time for meditation. I invite you to settle into your seats. Do whatever it is you need to do to feel grounded and fully present. To take a deep breath, and if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes. As you close your eyes, I invite you to open your mind, to be curious. Be curious about yourself. Be curious about your life. Be curious about your truth. Ask yourself, what is most true for me at this moment? In what do I believe? When I strip away all the little things that distract me from my purpose, what is my purpose? As I face hardships and pain in my life, what gives me solace? What gives me hope? What helps me to go on? To what or to whom do I turn for strength? As I learn and grow, where do I find sources of inspiration and wisdom? What is most true for me at this moment? Recognizing that each of us may have a multiplicity of truths, I invite you to name aloud one or many truths, knowing that in this congregation we welcome that multiplicity of truths. In a word or a phrase, name aloud your truth. Love. Wholeness,
good works,
I invite you back into this space. Take a breath and open your eyes. And take a look at your symbol. And hold it up so the people around you can see what resonates for you. I see hearts, I see circles, I see eternity, infinity symbols, lots of infinity. I see, connected hearts. I see spirals, I see an animal of some sort. What's that? I see mitochondria. Oh, yes. We are in Blacksburg. I see a peace symbol. I see a triangle. What else do I see? Denise, what is that? A tree. We accept many truths in this place. This is one way that we speak the language of love. The reading continues.
We prophesy, summoning the age when justice and peace will be evident all around us.
This morning we have been exploring how we as a congregation speak the language of love, especially here on Sunday mornings during a worship service. But all that we do here would be meaningless if we did not take it with us out into the world. We cannot summon the age when justice and peace will be evident all around us with mere words. Our words must be accompanied by action. In a few minutes, we will make our way up the grounds to dedicate a water feature that has been named after an organization that is dedicated to action in Malawi. Let our taking this service outside serve as a symbol and reminder that we can speak the language of love not only here in this congregation, but in the rest of our lives. Before we're going to learn a song that comes to us from South Africa. It was one of the freedom songs sung during the struggle against apartheid. Professor C. Michael Hahn explains, usually translated as "we are marching in the light of God," Siyahamba contains layers of meaning. We may be seen as a word of community, the community of those living and the community of the living dead. In African traditional society, those who have died are still with us, and their witness may influence the actions of the living. Marching is an action that unifies the community as they move physically and spiritually in the same direction. It is a bodily, kinesthetic response to the leading of the spirit rather than a passive acquiescence. The light of God has meaning on several levels too, he writes. While it is a symbol of creation and of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, it is also a common refrain in songs of healing or Nagoma throughout southern and central Africa. According to Christian anthropologist John Jansen, let darkness be replaced with light is coded language for seeing clearly. God is the source of clear sight in the midst of the struggle, the source of discernment and truth. As we march, we can see our way ahead. Our path is clear. Where there is light, there is hope. So we're going to learn this song. And is Marquita here? When Marquita and George and I came together to plan the dedication that we'll be having up at the water feature, I said, we should sing a song. And she said, oh, I know a song. I'll tell you about it later. And then it turns out it was this song, which I have been wanting to sing with you all for 2 years. So thank you, Marquita, for giving me permission to sing this song. We'll sing it in English. The Zulu is a little tricky. What? Do y'all know Zulu? I don't know Zulu. We'll sing it a couple of times, and then what I'll invite you to do is start walking out the doors and up the hill. But if you have mobility issues, Crosby, can you stand up? Crosby is here to ferry people in a vehicle up the hill. So just meet him outside. We'll wait for the Crosby car to arrive before we begin. If you'd like to grab a cup of coffee and take it up, just make sure you bring it back. But there is lemonade up at the water feature as well. So I'm going to say the benediction now before we sing. So Rise in body or in spirit. Take hold of the hand of a person near you. And I'll use the final words in our reading today, which is, we have worshiped together, making room for one another as whole beings, tender hearts, hungry spirits, and curious minds, with our actions and with our words. Together, let us speak the language of love. And now, let's sing. We'll sing it through one time, and then we can keep singing if you want to, and we'll make our way out the back doors and up the hill. And we have a drummer. Matt is going to play with us and maybe play us up the hill. All right.